Last summer, I was on holiday in Cornwall in Newquay, and one day I was coming back from the beach and I saw an incredible sight. There was a man, and he was about my age, and he was dressed, not surprisingly coming back from the beach, but he was dressed in just swim shorts and he was in bare feet. Anyway, he was balancing on a skateboard, and he was heading down a very steep path from the beach, and he was gaining speed at a terrific pace. He had he was on one foot, and he had in one hand he had a glass of beer, and the other hand he had a cigarette. And he was one hand out like this, one hand out that, on one foot. And the thing that was amazing was that he wasn't falling off. He was balancing perfectly. He was getting faster and faster as he was going down the beach path. It was one of those times you think, A, do I take out my phone and film him? Or B, do I phone an ambulance because he's bound to crash? Or C, do I look away because there's going to be blood everywhere? Well, I did none of those things. I just stared open-mouthed. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. He got faster and faster, but what amazed me was his incredible balance. Clearly, he, in his younger days, had been a surfer and a skateboarder, because he hadn't lost his touch. His mates were stood around watching him as he was showing off. Eventually, he ran out of path and the skateboard hit the grass. Cool as anything, he just carried on running. He had balance, amazing balance. I want to talk this morning about a balance that God enables us to walk. And thankfully, it doesn't involve a skateboard. We live with one foot in this world, fully engaged with the challenges, the demands of practical work and home and relationships. And we're also called to live with another foot in the spiritual world, to walk in the Spirit. That's our calling. As Christians, we're born again. We're born of the Spirit. We're those who are made spiritually alive. We live in two realms at once. Each day, we live practical, physical lives, getting on with the things we need to do. The washing up, catching the bus, cooking a meal. And each day, we're invited to walk with the Spirit of Christ, be led by the Spirit of God, keep in step with God's Holy Spirit. This morning, we're going to look at how God would have us manage this balancing act of keeping fully engaged with living in this beautiful, wonderful world, this sunny, beautiful world that God has made for us, and yet sensing what God would have us do, listening, sensing as God would speak to us by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together and ask for God's help. Jesus, thank you that you have made a beautiful, wonderful, and today a sunny, warm world for us to live in. A world of beautiful flowers, a world that we can enjoy and engage with. And yet you've also created a spiritual world. And we live in those two worlds at the same time. And Lord, it's a mystery, a great mystery, this balancing act of being fully engaged with both worlds at the same time. Thank you that we're born again. We're born of the Spirit. We are engaged in this spiritual world that you have made. And Lord, we're asking for wisdom. Would you open the eyes of our heart this morning that we would more clearly, more fully understand what it means to walk by the Spirit, that we would fully understand more clearly today how to be led by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Number of years ago, I went to Canada. Canada is supposed to be one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And indeed, it is amazing. I went to Toronto. Lovely city. I went up the iconic CN Tower. Now, it's not the place to go if you suffer from vertigo. It's so tall that if you go up there, you can feel it sway in the wind. It's a concrete structure, but it's so tall, you can feel the wind make it sway. As you look out from the observation platform, it's 1,800 feet tall, the CN Tower. If you stand at the observation platform, you can look out and you can see in the distance Niagara Falls. And as you look out, you can see beyond that, you can see into New York State. Beautiful place. Not only can you look out, you can look down because they've made a glass floor. Okay, put your fingers in your ears if you suffer from vertigo, because you're not going to like what I'm going to talk about now. Because there's a part of the platform that is made of glass. And you can stand on the glass and it's 1,100 foot straight down. It's the highest observation platform in the Western Hemisphere. And so you can stand on this glass. Now it takes a lot of courage and a lot of brave men and women and children are up there and they're standing on the edge and they're trying to get the courage to stand on the glass. All your senses say, do not stand on the glass. You have to get faith. You have to get your courage. You have to get your guts to step out and to stand on that glass. And I did do it, but it took a lot of effort. It took a lot of effort to put my foot out and to stand on that glass. And as I did it and looked down, you look straight down all that way to the floor. You've got to have faith. You've got to have faith in the engineers who designed it. You've got to have faith in the glass that it's going to support you. This morning, we're talking about walking in the Spirit, faith is going to be a key theme that we're going to come back to. And I mentioned it right here at the beginning. We're going to talk about faith in God, faith in His Word, faith in the whisper of the Holy Spirit in your heart. This morning's title is Walking by the Spirit, and the phrase comes from a verse in Galatians 5 verse 16. It says this, "So I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the flesh." The context of the verse, it comes from allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us as we walk in a way that's like Jesus and not in a way that my sinful old nature wants. From this passage, Paul continues in the New Testament to broaden the scope of how the Holy Spirit leads us and describes how the Holy Spirit enables to lead the whole of our lives. And so other passages in Galatians 5 continue. It says here, live by the Spirit. In other words, live our lives by the energy, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Continues, keep in step with the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't go ahead of the Holy Spirit. Don't lag behind the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with Him as He's moving, as He's directing us. Keep in step with Him. And then in Romans 8, it says we can be led by the Spirit because we're sons and daughters of God. A similar idea in all these passages, of the Bible, it's a similar idea. And the idea is that the Holy Spirit can lead us. The Holy Spirit can direct us. The Holy Spirit can order our lives, can order our steps in such a way that our lives are under the direction of God as he leads, as he speaks, as he guides. Paul wants us to know that we're a people who can learn to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We're a people who can learn to hear God's voice. We're a people who can learn to use our faith in recognizing to be in step with what God's doing. Now, to help us this morning, I want to look at a passage in the Old Testament. It's in 1 Chronicles 13, where it illustrates the choice that we face, because we face a choice as believers, as followers of Jesus, we face a choice as to how we live our lives. It's a very practical choice. We face a choice every day, a very practical choice as to how we live our lives. And we're going to look at the life of David. And David, of course, is someone who is commended by God as someone who loved God. In fact, he was called someone who had a heart after God, someone who wanted to follow God and really had a passion for God's ways. And yet on this occasion in 1 Chronicles 13, what we see is David, even though he wanted to do something important, he didn't go to God and seek God's advice, wisdom, counsel. Instead, he just did what he thought was the best thing to do. And as we'll see, it didn't turn out well. And to be honest, I can really relate to God, because so often in my life, I've just gone and done what I thought was the best thing to do without actually going to ask God what he wanted to do. Let's look what happened here. It's in 1 Chronicles 13. And this story, this account, is David bringing the Ark of God, which contained the presence of God in the Old Testament, the Ark of God, from a place called Kiriath Jearim, place outside Jerusalem, bringing it into Jerusalem. Let's look at the account in 1 Chronicles 13. David conferred with his officers, the commander of the thousands and hundreds. He said to the whole assembly of Israel, "If it seems good to you, if it's the will of the Lord our God, let us send word far and wide to the rest of our people throughout the territories of Israel, also to the priests and Levites in their towns and pasturelands, come and join us. Let us bring the Ark of God back to us, for we did not inquire of it during the reign of Saul." The whole assembly agreed because it seemed right to the people. So David assembled all Israel from the Shihor River in Egypt to Lebo Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. David, all the Israel, went to Baalah Judah, that's Kiriath Jearim, to bring up from there the Ark of God the Lord, who is enthroned between the cherubim, the Ark that's called by the name. They moved the Ark of God from Abinadab's house on a new cart, with Uzzah and Ahio guiding it. Those are the priests. David and all the Israelites were celebrating with all their might before God, with songs and harps, lyres, timbrels, cymbals, and trumpets. See, David wanted to honor God and bring the Ark to where he lived in Jerusalem. So he reckoned, his idea was, let's make a new cart. Let's put this Ark, God's Ark presence, on the cart. Let's get the priests to bring carefully, bring the Ark and pull by oxen. Let's bring it. That's is the best way he could come up with of bringing God's presence from one place to another. They were celebrating. They were happy. They were bringing the Ark from one place to another. But then disaster, verse 9. When they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah, that's one of the priests, reached out his hand to steady the Ark because the oxen stumbled. The Lord's anger burned against Uzzah, struck him down because he put his hand on the Ark. He died there before God. See, David started to move the Ark how he thought was the best way. Results were disastrous because it wasn't the way that God wanted to be done. David realized something really important that day, and 1 Chronicles 15 tells us, this is David's reflection on that day. Reflection, he reflects back on what happened. Look what he says in 1 Chronicles 15. "We failed to ask God how to move it properly." See, what happened was David did what he thought was the best thing. His planning, his resources, his wisdom, and the result wasn't good. Rather than find out what God wanted, David presumed he knew best and worked out a plan, and it was the wrong thing. The ark pulled the oxen, stumbled. One of the priests reached out his hand, touched the untouchable ark of God, and he died for his presumption. See, there are two ways of living the Christian life. You might have heard this little phrase, do your best and pray that it's blessed. I don't know whether you've heard that little phrase. Do your best and pray that it's blessed. In other words, you think, how can I do whatever it needs to do? I'll work hard. This is the best thing to do. This is my best thing I can work out. And say, God, would you please bless what I've done? God, would you come with your blessing and pray? These are my best efforts. I've worked really hard. You've seen how much I've toiled. You've seen my late nights. You've seen how much effort I put in this. God, would you now come and put your blessing on what I've done? That's one way of living the Christian life. And as we see from David here, this example we just read, asking God to bless our best efforts, actually for David, didn't turn out well. It didn't turn out well for David, working out a way of doing it and then asking God to bless. David's reflection was, we should have actually first gone and asked God what to do. We should have first gone and sought God and say, God, how do you want us to do this? And so the other way of living our Christian life is going to God and saying, God, how do you want me to do this? Whatever it is in our life, whatever aspect of your life and my life, going to God and saying, God, would you lead me? God, would you guide me? God, would your Holy Spirit open the door, show me, lead me, guide me? And that's the other way. He's waiting for his timing, looking, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. And in this particular instance here that we saw, the way that David found out how he should have moved the ark is he went back to Scripture. He went back to the Bible. He read and he found that what they should do is the priests, instead of using a cart, they should carry it. And so the way he found out what God did want is he went back to the Bible. And often, of course, the way we find out what God does want is by reading Scripture. And Ivan's talk a few weeks ago really encouraged me in terms of hearing God's voice through the Bible in a daily way. And Nick was encouraging us last week how we can hear God's voice through the Bible every day. You know, there's been times in my Christian life where, to be honest, when I've come to read the Bible in my daily time, it seemed quite as though it's got a bit dry. I've not kind of found the Bible so exciting, or it's just seemed a bit routine. It seemed like I've got in a bit of a rut. And I really want to encourage us this morning that if it feels like if it feels like reading the Bible is becoming a bit of a rut, I believe God wants our times in the mornings or whenever you read the Bible, our daily times, to be times where we hear his voice every day. That our Bible times, that when I open this book, every time, as Ivan was encouraging us, that every time when I open this book, I hear what he's saying. I hear God's voice speak fresh to us. What I did is I bought a new version, a different version of the Bible than I normally read. Normally I read one particular version of the Bible that I like. And just recently, I bought a different version of the Bible because I got a bit familiar with one particular version, so I knew what was coming up next. As I was reading the Bible, I thought, oh, I know the next verse, and I know the next verse. So I bought just a different version, and it's just made it fresh again for me. And there's lots of different ways of just being fresh, that as we read the Bible, it becomes fresh. And maybe before we go today, you could ask the person next to you, how do you read the Bible? Because we can learn from each other. That our times of reading the Bible would be fresh every day. Really encourage you to make sure that we encounter God's word fresh. God speaks through the Bible. God speaks also in dreams. God speaks in visions and pictures. God also speaks directly into our minds. We see that as we look through Acts. We look through Acts, we see here Peter in Acts 10. Peter had a vision, and then it says the Spirit said to him, the Spirit spoke in his mind to Peter. In Acts 20, the Spirit told Paul in his mind. In Acts 8, the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip in his mind and said, go over there, and told him something he had to do. These three pillars of the early church, the Holy Spirit spoke directly into their mind. A real encouragement for us to step out with God, expecting that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us, as well as through the Bible, the Holy Spirit is going to speak directly into our minds as we live our lives. You know, Jesus explains this hearing God's voice using an image of him being a shepherd and us being a sheep. In John 10, verse 27, there's a lovely verse. I've been thinking about this verse a lot recently. It's a beautiful verse where Jesus explains very simply our relationship with him. And this is what he says in John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. If you're born again today, you are a sheep. You're his sheep. He's your shepherd. You're his sheep. And Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. What a wonderful picture. It's lovely. I'm going to encourage you just to meditate on this verse a little bit. Maybe even today, maybe over the next few days. Just to really understand and really freshly appreciate the fact that you are part of the family of God. It says here, I know you. Jesus knows you because you're part of his family. Because you're part of his family, you can hear his voice. Now, it may take some effort to hear his voice. It may take faith to hear his voice. It certainly will take practice to learn to hear his voice. We're going to come back to some of those practical things in just a few moments. But the verse continues with the encouragement, Jesus knows me personally. And then it finishes with this expectation, I will follow Jesus. They follow me. And to follow Jesus means I'm going to obey him. Important part of hearing God is Jesus expects me to do what he says. If Jesus speaks to me, then he expects me to do what he tells me to do. And this important part of hearing God is the expectation I'm going to do what God asks me to do. A few years ago, I saved up some money. And when I'd saved up this money, I was going to spend it. It's not an unreasonable thing to do. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me not to spend the money. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to give it to a particular Christian project. And it was very clear. The Holy Spirit spoke in my mind and said, "Don't spend it on this thing. Give it to this Christian project." So I thought about it and I prayed about it, and I said, "Okay, God, this is what you're telling me to do, Holy Spirit. I will do what you're telling me to do." And so, This is a really interesting thing. As I obeyed God, as I did what God asked me to do, something very unusual happened. Something very amazing happened. Normally, the process of transformation in our lives is an incremental thing. It's a little by little thing. So normally God changes us over a period of time. So over a period of months, God changes my character and makes me more like Jesus. And so you don't suddenly in the morning wake up and you're a different person. Normally it's a process that happens, that God changes me and makes me more like Jesus over time. But there are some times where someone maybe prays for you and something happens in an instant. There's a sudden encounter with Jesus and I'm changed. And sometimes I may be just praying in my bedroom, and suddenly I encounter God in a way that changes me. Now, this is the interesting thing. As I obeyed God that day, the moment I actually did what God asked me to do, I felt inside a change in my attitude. Something changed inside me as I obeyed him. I felt a change happen inside me that was a remarkable change. God did something in me. And Jesus, it says in scripture, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And there is a blessing in giving, but there's also a blessing in receiving, but there's also a blessing as you give away. And the amazing thing is that something changed in me that day as I did what God asked me to do. And that's the important thing is to obey God. I wish I could say today that I always am quick to obey, but I've got to be honest that I'm not always quick to obey. I wish I was, and that's our struggle as Christians is to be obedient to do what God asked me to do. A few years later, I had an occasion where God spoke to me again, and I wasn't quick to obey. God spoke to me and told me to stop drinking alcohol. Now, just to be clear, I'm talking about drinking in moderation, not talking about getting drunk, because it's not. It's clear in scripture that it's a personal Christian personal decision as to whether you drink alcohol or not in moderation. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said that I was to not drink alcohol. Not that it's wrong for all Christians, but just for me, that was what the Holy Spirit didn't want me to drink alcohol. But I didn't want to obey. I didn't want to do what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. So I tried to negotiate with God, which is never good, because negotiating with God is disobedience. It's not negotiation, is it? So I said, okay, God, I will do what you ask for a year. But that's no good, because that's just disobedience, isn't it? Negotiating with God. So I did that for a year. But then what happened was, I had a medical condition where the doctor said, the tablets that you need to take, you can't have any alcohol. So there you go. But now I choose to obey God, and I chose not to do that anyway. But the important thing is that we need God's grace in terms of obedience. So the point I'm making is that obedience is hard. But we need God's mercy and God's grace, because if God speaks to us, then we need God's mercy to be able to obey him and to be able to follow him and do what he's asking to do. Because as God speaks, God, would you have mercy? If God's speaking to you today, if God's asking you or God's asking me to do something, God, would you give me the grace? God, would you give me the mercy to be able to obey you and do what you're asking us to do? Now, I wanted today, just as we finish, there are three takeaways. It's getting towards lunchtime, so it's always good to talk about takeaways at lunchtime. There are three takeaways I want to talk about when it comes to how do we grow. Let's get practical today. There are three things I want to talk about in terms of how do I grow in this walking in the Spirit, I believe. And the three things I believe, firstly, is to grow in the Spirit involves listening. One of the things that I think that has helped me, and I just put it out there as something that may help you, is it's interesting as you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as you look at the life of Jesus, his life was incredibly busy, and he was with the crowds and he was with people just so much, and yet we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John it says he often withdrew to lonely places. Often. There was a pattern in his life where he often spent time alone with his Father. There was often time where he was just praying, just quiet, just waiting, just listening, just being alone with his father. And one of the things that, where I live is very noisy. We live next to a train track. We live in the Maisonette, got noisy neighbours. It's a very noisy life. I'm sure it is for you too. And one of the things I try and do in my devotional time, as well as praying for people, as well as reading the Bible, as well as other things I do in my devotional time, one thing I do is I carve out a time just to be quiet before God, just to listen, just that it's still and silent before God. And what the way I practically do that is I just set a timer on my phone for a length of time, and I'm just still and wait. There's a lovely verse in Matthew 7. It says, "Seek and you will find." That I'm just seeking God, waiting on him, quiet, listening to the Holy Spirit, just being still before him. I just put that before you as if you haven't tried it, why don't you try it? Just try some time being still before God. It's particularly helpful if you put a timer on so that your mind doesn't wander and you think, oh, how long have I been? Oh, it's only 2 minutes since I've been doing this. Just do it. Just spend some time quiet before God and just see what God would do in your heart. Just see what would happen. Takeaway number one. Takeaway number two, I believe growing and walking in the Spirit involves stepping out of the boat. Step onto the glass. Yeah? Step onto the glass. We took that up the CN Tower. You know, walking in the Spirit always involves faith. You know, we started this morning talking about faith. I want to finish by talking about faith. I believe we've got to actively look for opportunities to listen to the Holy Spirit. It's not a passive. This walking by the Spirit, keeping in step with the Spirit, isn't a passive thing. It's an active thing. When I was up there in the CN Tower, there were a lot of people who were around the edge. So you can imagine this glass platform there, and there were a lot of people, and they were scared. they were well and truly on the concrete bit, and they were. And it took some courage. It took some guts to take that step and stand on the glass. And in our lives, we can step back and stay safe. Or we can step out and say, God, I'm stepping out with you. I'm stepping out with your Holy Spirit. Here I am. I'm available to you. God, can you use me? God, would you move in my life? God, here I am. I am listening. I'm available. No, you've got the choice. You've got the choice. It's up to you tomorrow morning what you do. You can stay back on the concrete or you can get on the glass. Three practical suggestions. Okay, you're sending a WhatsApp. You're sending a WhatsApp to someone. You can either just send a WhatsApp, or you can say, God, I'm sending a WhatsApp to this person anyway. Could you give me a scripture that I could send to them that would encourage them, that would bless them, that would touch them, that would be something that would help them? Could you just touch my heart? Could you just show me? Could you just put on my heart something that would encourage them? Just step out. Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm listening. My sheep hear my voice. That's what Jesus said. God, could you just show me? I'm sending a WhatsApp anyway. Number one. Number two, you've got a prayer list of people that you pray for. Your relatives, your friends, people at work, people you're praying for anyway. As you're praying for those people tomorrow morning, God, is there someone on that list who today is going through a hard time, who today needs some encouragement, who today needs to hear from you? God, could you impress them on my heart? I could send them a prophecy. I could send them a picture. I could send them a scripture. I could just today give them some encouragement from you, just from the Holy Spirit. Could you use me today? God, could you use me today to touch their lives? Number two. Number three, I'm going out today to meet someone in a cafe. I'm going out today to work. I'm going out today to see some friends. You're going out today to see someone. God, I'm going out today. Could you today use me to touch this person's life? Could I pray for them? Could I speak to them? Could I encourage them? Could I bring a word of encouragement for them? I'm going to see them anyway. Could you use me today to touch their lives? Rather than it just be a meeting and a cup of coffee, could it be a Holy Spirit time? Could it be a time where you use me and it's your time and you speak through me to touch them? You see, there's opportunity for God to use us and touch people's lives. Step out the boat. Step out the boat. Number three, growing in the Spirit involves learning. Particularly if you're a new Christian, just want to say we're all growing and learning as followers of Jesus. Jesus in Matthew 11:29 says, learn from me. It's Jesus' invitation to us as followers. We're learners. We're learning. We're learning all these things. We're disciples. Disciples means followers, learners. It's a process. We're learning how to do these things. John 14:26, Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit is the one who will help us. He will help us grow in these things. Can I just say, please don't get discouraged. Please don't get discouraged. We learn by doing. And it would be great, wouldn't it, if you became a Christian and somehow, zap, you always got it right. You always got it spot on, right first time. It was just like that. But unfortunately, it's not like that. It's a process. There have been times where I've shared what I felt and it's just not seemed that helpful. I've got to remember, I'm learning, I'm growing, it's a process. But there's been times where I've shared what I felt, it's been exactly the thing from God. It's touched someone's life, it's been so encouraging for them, it's really made a difference. I've been encouraged, they've been encouraged, it's been so good. I'm so glad I stepped out the boat. I'm so glad I stepped onto the glass. Jesus, thank you, Lord. I feel for some of us, we're kind of carrying a bit of discouragement from times that we may have just stepped out of the boat and it's just not seemed to be that fruitful or effective. And just today, a decision, a determination, just to put that discouragement down and to thank God that we can hear his voice, that we are his sheep, we can hear his voice, and that we're learning, we're growing, that this is a process and a willingness to be part of that process and a willingness to be used by the Holy Spirit and a willingness to say to Jesus, here I am, and I'm thank you that you're my shepherd, I'm your sheep, and I want to be up for walking with you in this coming week, learning from you. Thank you, Lord. I feel there's a real sense this morning of the week ahead lying unwritten, as it were, and it being a choice in our hands, and just God's invitation. The Holy Spirit's invitation to partner with him as being very real for each of us.